When I met Dawson Trotman, I just fell in love with the man, especially regarding that ministry of man-to-man work. It just woke up in me an intense hunger to dedicate my life fully to win others to Christ. So during the brief stay of Dawson Trotman in Uruguay, I just made myself his shadow and trailed him up and down where he went, and was my intense pleasure to just ask more and more about personal work and so forth. I just loved to make him talk. I had my book while we were driving to the airport, even at the last moment when he was going off to, we were in the car and somebody else was driving, and so he was still talking about personal work, and I was in the car taking notes in my book there, just full speed. And did I use those notes? I sure did, down in the work in Uruguay there. The strange thing is that, in fact, in the mission where I am, the way the mission started, we were using navigator methods without knowing it. I guess it's because they were in the Bible. And you'll forgive my English, I speak Spanish continually, so if I am a little bit strained, do forgive me. I'm a foreigner. The way it started, Reverend Dable got to the field alone with his wife and child, not backed up by any organization, just by faith, with a real heart for souls. And so he met me, and we had just fellowship. He won me individually. I heard him preach on prayer. And I was intensely interested that one could have such an intimate fellowship with God. I was unsaved. I thought I was a Christian, but I was unsaved. So I started going to visit him in his home. And day by day, we had times in the book, in the Bible. I used to like to sort of wind him up and let him talk. And I enjoyed that. He talked scripture by the hour. And 6 months after that, I didn't realize it because all the time I thought I was a Christian. It dawned on me that I hadn't been saved, and that now I was saved because I had been believing and was believing the wonderful truths of the Bible. So my life was completely changed. I was seeped and deep in sin. And then something strange started. Reverend Dable took me under his wing for personal training. There was no Bible school in Uruguay at that time, so I attended to a one-man Bible school. Dable was the dean, the director, the board of teachers, and everything. And we used to sit down together, and he'd open the book and used to study. And those were wonderful, wonderful days. That personal heart-to-heart training. Then, of course, we inaugurated the first Bible school in Uruguay. That was some time afterwards. And I went to the Bible school and learned under other teachers. But I tell you, I learned more under one man than in a regular Bible school. Then, too, it wasn't me only after that, but another boy got saved who worked with me in the office. He got saved, came to our meetings, and he too started learning. Another thing we learned how to pray. Now, at the beginning, I just couldn't figure out why we had to spend so much time in prayer, 2 hours or so. But the Lord was training us. And we had a wonderful time in prayer as we proceeded on. I do remember once that the burden of the lost souls around us was so heavy on Reverend Dable's heart, but he broke down in prayer and wept, and I didn't know what it was all about, so I thought he needed some comfort, so I patted him on the back, and then he told me that he didn't need any comfort. That it was sheer joy to be able to pray for the lost. That in time the Lord would give me tears too. And the Lord did. So, in that one-man Bible school, I was trained under him. Then these other boys too, Tito Gonzalez and Chelo Figueron, who were the main columns of the work. So when Dawson Trotman came over and saw us in Uruguay, and he got to be a real good friend with Reverend Abel, he said in a meeting like this in some conference in the States where Reverend Abel was attending that in all his travels in the world, he never found this man-to-man like Paul the Apostle and in the New Testament duplicated in anywhere else in the world except in one man in Lebanon and in Uruguay. And there is the man, he said, pointing to Reverend Abel in the audience. Now, when I heard that, it was a great stimulus in me to do the same with the boys that have been coming to our work in Montevideo. And we have had some wonderful time in just giving personal attention to young converts, helping them grow. And it seems to us that those to whom we have dedicated more attention have always become more fruitful. As I see it now, those that have not been given special attention, then they lose that first zeal when they were just converted. And they more or less coast along. They are Christians, they pray and so forth, but they don't amount to much. But those who have been given special attention from the moment they were saved, and that initial zeal and enthusiasm is channeled toward the great things of the Lord, those we have seen that they always produced the real stalwart Christians and the missionaries. Those that have enrolled in our Bible school there now are the ones that have been receiving personal attention. One thing that was also a great blessing to me was the quick work the navigators have in elsewhere, not only here, but in Europe. I had one experience regarding that. As I was walking in the streets of Montevideo, and a fellow said, "Hello, how are you?" And I didn't know him, of course, so I started to talk with him in the hopes that he'd say something that he would reveal to me who he was. But he didn't, so it was getting sort of embarrassing, so I said, "Well, I don't know you. I would like to know where we met." And he said, "Oh, I heard you several times at the street meeting. You preach in the open air, don't you?" "Yes." "Well, I heard you several times." "Oh, you do? Well, that's wonderful. When would you like to come to our church? Why haven't you come?" And he said, "Oh, I'd like to, but the trouble is I'm sailing for Spain tomorrow." "Oh," so I thought to myself, "he's sailing for Spain tomorrow, and he's unsaved." So it occurred to me to ask him, "If you had died yesterday, where would you go? Where would you be now?" Incidentally, that's a good question you may use when you deal with people. If you had died yesterday, where would you be now? And he said, "Oh, I'd be in hell." So my heart leaped. Here is a man that knows he's a sinner, he knows he'll go to hell, and he's been hearing the gospel. And obviously he likes it because he stopped to greet me. And he's sailing for Spain tomorrow to a country full of Catholicism, so there's no much hope for him down there. So I invited him over to have a cup of coffee and talk things over. So we got together and went over the Bible. For about one solid hour, we proceeded slowly, verse by verse, those verses that lead step at a time in regarding salvation. the gospel. It's in the memo back. So we went on those verses. And he grasped it. He had a deep understanding of it. He was opening up to the reality. So we had prayer right there over his cup of coffee in the coffee shop down in Uruguay, and he professed to accept the Lord. I had, fortunately with me, the first booklet with four memo verses, so I gave him that to memorize on his trip. And I prayed desperately for that boy as he went off to Spain. I had his address, wrote him, but meanwhile, I just couldn't keep restful. I have to follow that boy somehow. If I could get someone to wait for him when he comes down from the boat, or go to his address and get him to a good evangelical church. There are not many of those in Spain. So I wrote the navigators. And they wrote to their man in Europe, in France, who in turn wrote to someone in Spain. So as soon as the boy landed, they had him followed up immediately. Someone went to invite him to a good, strong evangelical church, and he went. For 2 years, I didn't know anything about him. I prayed desperately for him the first months. Then I have to confess that my praying for him sort of tapered off after that time. I wrote him one letter, he didn't answer. I wrote him again, he didn't answer. And after 3 years, here comes a letter from the boy, thanking me for having him followed up, for having it all arranged so he would be looked up, and pleading forgiveness for not having written before. Oh, I leaped with joy when I heard that, when I received that letter. Then he wrote to me again and again. And now he has gone through special training in his church to lead others to Christ. So I wrote Dawson Trotton a letter telling him how thrilled I was and congratulating the quick on the trigger efficiency of the navigators around the world. They could follow up a man, even down in Spain, so quickly and really bringing up in the Lord. I just didn't know what to do at the beginning. It was just as if a boy is born to a mother, she doesn't leave it in the street and says, "Now, Lord, take care of the baby," but she just takes care of it. Now, the boy was leaving, and my heart was just breaking. How could I follow him up? So that's how the Lord led, and the boy was followed up. Thank you.